Welcome to the Global Gaming Business Podcast, where you hear about the business of the casino entertainment industry from the people who make it happen. I'm Roger Gross, the publisher of GGB, and this week we feature an interview with David Jacoby, the CEO of Lucky Dragon Hotel and Casino, the first brand new casino to open in Las Vegas in 6 years. The GGB Podcast is brought to you by iGamingPlayer.com, the nation's leading online and land-based marketing affiliate program. When the Lucky Dragon Casino Hotel opened in December 2016, it became the first brand new casino property to open in Las Vegas in the last 6 years. It is also the first fully Asian-themed property in the city, with signs in Chinese above the English. All the food outlets are a variation on Chinese and Asian cuisine, and the vast majority of table games are baccarat. Dave Jacoby has been involved with the development for more than 6 years and explains the concept and reasoning behind the property. He spoke with me at his offices at the Lucky Dragon in January. Now you can subscribe to the GGB Podcast on iTunes. Just visit the iTunes store, search for GGB Podcast, and sign up today. Dave Jacoby, thanks for joining us on the GGB Podcast. I was here a few weeks ago at the Lucky Dragon, and I was very impressed with the operation and the layout of the property, and I'm so glad we could get together.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, and glad to have the opportunity to chat with you.
Well, it's an interesting property, and it's been in the works now for quite some time. Tell us how it came from concept to reality.
Sure. So several years ago, I'd say in 2012, I really started in earnest working on Lucky Dragon. And the early innings were a lot of site prep. The site here was initially five separate parcels with a city road running through it, and each parcel had different easements and things going on. So that was a whole process getting this the land prepped for vertical development, as well as we spent some time putting together a entity that helped raise funds overseas for the project, so getting that all set up, licensed and ready to go. It took quite a bit of time early on, and then as we started to gain a little momentum, vertical construction started almost 2 years ago now, and here we are.
Okay, great. So who are the owners of the property?
The owners are the Widener and the Fonfa family.
Okay.
So the Widener, Bill Widener is a patriarch of the Widener family.
Right.
He was the chief operating officer of Las Vegas Sands for several years. Now is also the CEO of Global Gaming Asset Management. Mm-hmm. His eldest son, James Widener, is the lead on Lucky Dragon for the Widener family. And Andrew Fonfa, he's been a successful real estate developer of many different asset types throughout the Vegas area for 30-plus years, notably and recently built the Allure Condominium Tower, which is immediately next door to Lucky Dragon. Mm-hmm.
Great. So this is the first completely Asian-themed property in Vegas. Obviously there's other casinos that have, parts of the casino themed in Asian, certainly Asian amenities, but this is the whole shebang here. What give us an idea of what your target market is. Certainly, obviously Asians, that's locals and international, I'm assuming, other ethnic groups. How does that work?
Yeah, so when we looked at the Vegas market, we saw a select few properties that do a very good job at catering to ultra-high-level Asian players. Alternatively, we saw a few properties that do an okay job at providing opportunities for kind of grind local play. There was not much in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the white space we sought to fill or are filling now. And we wanted to not take a mega resort and dedicate one small subsection to Asian play, but to build something from the ground up that shows face to these players and can execute a more culturally authentic environment in a more holistic fashion. So the signage you'll see is in Chinese first and English second.
Yep.
We have five different restaurants and a couple of bar lounges. All of them are different forms of Asian cuisine. Mm-hmm. Can't get a hamburger anywhere on property. You'll see the games on the floor are very heavily focused on baccarat. We have a higher proportion of tables versus slots than you might otherwise see at a property here. Mm-hmm. So many other small touches that we've put throughout the property, but those are the types of things that you can't execute in a small percentage if you're a large mega resort. Sure. You want to dedicate a small portion of your resort to Asian play, but you're not going to put every sign in Chinese first and your second, for example. Right. So that's sort of what we were trying to do. And we look at our core customers as the local Asian population and the regional Asian population. So a lot of California, Vancouver, Seattle, Toronto, New York, Houston, you know, other major metro areas within the U.S. We're seeing a good amount of overseas Chinese play and broader Asian play as well. The inaugural direct flight from Hainan Airlines from Beijing to Las Vegas just fortuitously happened to line up as one day prior to our grand opening. Okay. So I think everyone in Las Vegas is seeing a bit more of an influx of direct China tourism, and we're seeing some of that too.
Okay. So would a Westerner feel comfortable here at Lucky Dragon?
Yes, but our goal was not to make this a caricature of Asian culture for Western taste buds.
Right.
So, you know, there are other properties here that are heavily themed. I'll use an example, the Luxor.
Right.
Great property. It's been successful for many years here. Egyptian people are generally not walking into the Luxor and saying, just like home.
Yeah,
right. and that's because the audience is not Egyptian.
Sure.
The audience is American.
Right.
And the audience for Lucky Dragon is not necessarily Americans. It is the Asian population. We wanted this property to be able to be picked up and ported into Shanghai or Singapore or other spots throughout Asia, and that it would stand and it would survive in those types of environments. So that's what we tried to do. We're finding there are a good amount of non-Asian guests that come here, and they come here for a degree of cultural tourism. It's similar to why non-Asians might go to a Chinatown in another city, and our Chinatown here in Las Vegas or Asiatown is pretty popular.
Yeah.
It's the same type of customer, but they'll come and they'll eat in our restaurants, and you know, if you want egg rolls and fortune cookies, not the place. If you want really good dim sum and very, you know, authentic and high-quality Chinese food, come to us.
Right. So you're trying to provide a real authentic experience then for the Asian customer.
That's right.
Okay. So most people know that you know, Asians are not homogeneous, that there's all kinds of different cultures, you know, Philippines, Japan, Vietnam, etc., and they're all different. So how do you approach, you know, those type of different cultures while still trying to present the authentic experience?
Yeah, so that's been something we've paid a lot of attention to from the early ideating phases of this property. But one concern was, fully recognize that there are many different types of Asian ethnicities, and then even within each ethnicity, there are different types of tastes and preferences and personalities. So there's no right way to address everything. If we address everything, we sort of address nothing.
Right.
Nothing will come out as authentically shining through.
Right.
So we put a foot forward with the Chinese population, hence some of the, you know, linguistic things I mentioned earlier. Signs are in Chinese first. But we're careful to make sure, particularly through the cuisine and through our staff and through some of our service standards, that we are sensitive to many other Asian ethnicities. So if you walk around our gaming floor, you'll certainly find dealers or hosts or whomever that will speak Mandarin.
Right.
You'll also find Korean, Tagalog, Taglish even, which is sort of a mix between the two languages, Japanese, Vietnamese, many other languages.
Mm-hmm.
And similarly, in our restaurants, we have a night market called Dragon Valley on the ground floor that facility has a very multifaceted menu, and we have cuisines represented from all over Asia. You can certainly get Chinese food there, but you can get Filipino dishes and Korean dishes, and the menu sort of rotates and can be reactive to. If it's a Korean holiday, we can serve more Korean dishes, and that was sort of how we tried to be respectful to as many other Asian ethnicities as possible, and not say we're only Chinese or we are only one ethnicity.
Right, right. So you want to present an authentic experience for them too, but you don't want to go, we're only a Korean place now, because obviously that wouldn't really work. So
yeah, it's a fine line between being exclusive to all other ethnicities at the advantage of one, to the opposite end of the spectrum, being a tiny bit of everything and not really authentically anything.
Okay, great. So the design of the casino is pretty dramatic, with the golden dragon hanging right over the center of the table. It's all kind of built in the round. And, of course, everybody talks about feng shui when it comes to design of casinos that are approaching Asian. So did you consider that to a large extent when designing this property?
We did. We worked with a lot of consultants, both in-house and externally, to make sure that we designed the place in a manner that was would be welcoming to our guests, would provide good fortune to our guests. So there was a feng shui consultant that was involved very heavily, but the feng shui was not for us.
Right.
We wanted a feng shui for our guests.
Sure, right, right. And what's their reaction been so far in terms of how comfortable they are here?
It's been pretty positive.
Yeah.
It's been very positive. We're not on the largest footprint here in Las Vegas, but I think when you walk into the property, it feels small enough that it is intimate and warm, but large enough that it still has a sense of grandeur, a sense of arrival when you walk in. We wanted to try to toe both of those lines, and I think we were successful in doing so, and our customers seem happy.
Great. So you mentioned the Dragon Market, the replica of the Night Market where you see all over Asia. So tell us about some of your other F&B offerings.
Sure. So we have, outside of our Night Market, Dragon's Alley, we have a quick grab-and-go 24-hour restaurant called Bao Now. It's basically a greatest hits of the menu that's in Dragon's Alley, and it's on a 24-hour basis. Connecting those two venues is a large show kitchen. Mm-hmm. So three walls of glass where you can see chefs on woks with flames coming up, or dim sum rolling or steaming or noodle prep. So that is, as I understand it, maybe some of your listeners will correct me if I'm wrong here, but it's the only show kitchen on a gaming floor anywhere in the world that I've yet seen in a casino. So that was part of how we wanted to articulate to our guests that we do have authentic cuisine here. So anywhere on the main gaming floor, you can see a chef preparing.
Sure.
On level two of our facility, we have a high-end cocktail bar. We call our Atrium Bar, as well as two restaurants, Pearl Ocean. Pearl Ocean is a Cantonese-style dim sum restaurant. We have cart service, dim sum service throughout the day. We have live seafood of many different varieties rotating through whatever is fresh during the season. And that's been a very, very popular restaurant for us. It's the best dim sum that you can find in Las Vegas. Adjacent to that restaurant is a restaurant called Phoenix. Phoenix is a very, very high-end dining experience. It's meant for smaller, more intimate parties generally, but very fine dining, fine Chinese dining. And then in the hotel side, in our lobby, we have a destination called Cha Garden, which is the largest selection of Chinese and Taiwanese teas anywhere in North America, many of which are exclusive to Lucky Dragon. We have a tea sommelier. It's a bar that serves full alcohol and snacks, but the focus is really on high-end tea service, whether it's you want a cup of tea, a pot of tea, more formalized kung fu tea service experience. Okay. And that's an indoor-outdoor space as well.
Okay, great. I can't recall any other tea room in a casino here.
Not that I've seen. There are a couple areas where you can get one or two nicer pots of tea or cups of tea. There's nowhere where you'll find a list of 50 rare teas throughout China and Taiwan and have a tea sommelier and tasting notes. And we have a retail component, too, so many of our guests will find really like a tea during their stay, and they can take some home with them.
Okay, great. So let's talk about gaming. You've taken a risk by being, strictly Asian, but you're also opened, without a sports book, no poker, no bingo, no craps, live keno. What was behind that decision?
I think it was largely behind, we wanted to focus on our core customer and looked at first, what do our core customers really want?
Right.
And we, in our estimation, think it's a good hospitality experience, a clean environment, friendly staff, very good, authentic food, and games they're tending to prefer is baccarat, heavily.
Right.
So we focused most on that and then kind of build back from there and think, all right, what else do we need to support those types of customers? Maybe it's a spa. We have a beautiful spa on level two, a Soti spa, and just started building down from there as to what other amenities do we think best support our core customers. And we're not opposed to Kino, we're not opposed to Sportsbook. Those things may be things we add in the future. We just didn't necessarily think they were essential to the success of, they weren't going to make or break our
Open. Sure, right. Plus, again, you're limited with space.
That's true as
well. Yeah, okay. Baccarat is certainly, the dominant game down there, 27 of the 40 games or some variation of Baccarat. So how do you deal the game? I'm a former Baccarat dealer.
Oh, all right.
So it's my first love in the casino business. So Would it be familiar to the international player, people who play in Macau and things of that nature?
Yes. Yeah, so we have some games that would be more familiar to the international, mm-hmm. Someone who's used to frequenting Macau,
right.
You know, your squeeze games.
Mm-hmm.
We've got big bock tables. We have, on the other side of things, easy bock, which mm-hmm. is probably more your
right.
California type
sure.
of yep. customers is more accustomed to that type of game. So we've got both.
Okay. I saw some shufflers on some tables and not on other tables. Is that the shufflers weren't there?
No, we have shufflers.
But I mean, they're all the table, all the baccarat tables are dealt out of shufflers.
So. Yes.
Okay, great. And you know, don't have any big baccarat game. I go back a ways before mini baccarat, so I don't see any big baccarat.
We have one.
You have one? Okay.
We have one in our VIP room.
Okay. So, and you do have some VIP rooms that are away from the public areas.
Correct. They're not private per se, but
yeah.
they are removed from the mass gaming floor.
Okay, okay. And I don't know if anybody knows how to deal a big game anymore.
Yeah, it's a rare breed.
It is, yeah.
Looking to acquire valuable players for your online casino or even your land-based property? Check out iGamingPlayer.com, the leading affiliate marketing site for legal online gaming in the U.S. iGamingPlayer is one of the first and only online affiliate marketing sites licensed in New Jersey. iGamingPlayer delivers quality customers and profitable players with its mix of online gaming news, play for free games, and information on the best promotions offered by its partner online casinos, poker rooms, and land-based casinos. iGamingPlayer uses the vast knowledge about players and their behaviors to deliver players to your online casino and act as the bridge to your bricks-and-mortar property. So visit iGamingPlayer.com to see what you've been missing.
So you've included, a real high limit approach here, as well as a rolling chip policy. How does that work?
So our rolling chip program, we're in the process of rolling it out right now.
Mm-hmm.
We expect to go live later this month.
Okay.
So that's an ongoing process for us. We wanted to sort of open and get our the rest of our gaming floor
sure.
set and settled
mm-hmm.
here. No one in Las Vegas is currently providing a rolling program
right.
or any scale, really.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll be the first, I shouldn't say the first, we'll be the only
right.
Group doing that here in Las Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
And we've gotten a pretty good response from players that are both overseas and here in North America that are interested
mm-hmm.
in participating in the rolling program. So we're looking forward to getting that live later this month and seeing how it performs.
Okay. Well, that gives someone the impression possibly that you're dealing with junket operators. Do you have VIP hosts are running that, or how's that working? Do you have junket operators bring people in?
Yeah, we have internal hosts of ours.
Mm-hmm.
We have independent agents, some junket operators we're working with
mm-hmm.
all across the board.
And these based internationally as well?
Based internationally as
okay.
well, yes.
Okay, great. So you got a players club too. When I was here, there's a big line going, getting the cards. What makes this different than any other players club?
We've got various promotions depending whether you're local, international,
mm-hmm.
Regional, and we're no different in the fact that we segment our players in any
sure.
way like any other property
right.
would. We're the first property to open from a ground up development perspective
mm-hmm.
and. 6 years in
yeah.
Las Vegas. Our theme is obviously a little bit different than everybody else. We're,
mm-hmm.
we're not trying to be all things all people. We're,
sure.
we're very targeted.
Right.
So I think our customers have responded to that, and we're seeing a lot of pickup of people who want to come. They want to try us out. They'll
mm-hmm.
play for a little bit. They want to eat in the restaurants. And we've been really fortunate. I won't give exact numbers, but we had some benchmarks we had set for ourselves, goals we had set for
mm-hmm.
ourselves. In terms of player account signups that we wanted to have by certain dates.
Yeah.
And we have absolutely blown through those numbers
mm-hmm.
and have a much greater database than we ever thought we would at this stage in the game. And I think that's a reflection of people being excited about
yeah.
something new here in Las Vegas.
Yeah. And that's always tough opening without a database and building it from scratch. So that must be exciting to hit those goals.
It is. It was important for us. I'd say the only downside is now that we've got a database, we need to use it. And we
right.
weren't ready to have all our mailers out
sure,
and get
right.
these offers out quite as quickly as we thought, as we're now finding we need to.
Right.
So now we're kind of scrambling to move some of those initiatives up.
Sure, sure.
But good problem now.
Yeah, not a bad problem for sure. So you mentioned service before, and we all know customer service is a crucial part of any new casino. So how did you prepare and motivate, you know, your employees to deliver, you know, the experience and the element that the elements that you want the Lucky Dragon to be known for?
I think it started with each of our department heads, and we've got people that we've assembled here as a team that all have tremendous experience throughout mm-hmm. the gaming industry internationally, domestically,
right.
Here in Vegas, mm-hmm. not in Vegas. So we've got a great kind of broad representative, broad representation of people from throughout the industry. And then just really hiring the right types of personalities. We were really fortunate. Again, I think it's a reflection of the fact that we're the first new place to open in quite some time in Las Vegas, as mm-hmm. well as the different type of offering that Lucky Dragon is. We had a tremendous response to the jobs we were posting for right. the property, and I was worried we might have to start recruiting heavily overseas
right.
or in many yeah. other markets, and so many people were interested in coming here to work that we were able to really be selective, and we held some career fairs here on property, filled every position quickly, fairly easily, and with some very high-quality candidates, and then so that was sort of the core of making sure you have the right people.
Right.
And then those right people, depending on the department and depending on how we've set things up here, have really trained with an eye towards service. And, you know, we want to use the fact that we are not the largest casino. We're not a mega
sure.
resort
right.
here.
Right.
That's an advantage to us as mm-hmm. we see it. So we want this to be a warmer atmosphere where you walk in and you will, you know, you can walk in and shake the general manager or the COO's hand mm-hmm. and say hello. And,
yeah.
People will recognize you. They'll know who you are. It's you know, it's a place that you can have that type of warmth and community feel in that larger facilities just can't accommodate by
right.
the fact of their sheer size.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, obviously your dealers would have to be bilingual. So was that a big problem, or was that did you not have a problem getting those kind of
We did not have a problem. Mm-hmm. Our dealers do not have to be bilingual. Most mm-hmm. of them are. It was certainly a plus.
Right.
I would say in front of house areas, so dealers, player hosts, front desk, those types of positions, mm-hmm. food servers, we're about 80%+ of those people speak a second language mm-hmm. natively.
Yeah.
That the most frequent language spoken in that among that group is Mandarin,
mm-hmm.
but many other languages are represented as well.
Okay, great. So here we are right after the first of the year. You've gone through your first holiday season. How did that go? Obviously, the week between Christmas and New Year's is always busy, certainly with Asians. Was that a popular time here?
It was very busy for us. I think the timing of when we opened ahead of the holiday worked well for us. So we grand opened on December 3rd. We soft opened a few days prior to that.
Mm-hmm.
But from December 3rd up to that busy period you mentioned, the Christmas to New Year's run,
right.
It gave us a good amount of runway to work through any kinks we might have, make sure all of our service standards were as great as they could be. And then it was a good training period for us.
Mm-hmm.
And then as we really ramped up to the Christmas period and New Year's period, it's been pretty busy. Now this week is CES in Las
right,
Vegas,
right.
this week into next week. And before we know it, it'll be Chinese New Year, which is a even busier time.
Sure, sure. What plans do you have for that? I mean, that's got to be your biggest week of the year.
Yeah, it's big. So we have different events every day here mm-hmm. on property, from special dinners to giveaways mm-hmm. to tournaments. We have various groups that'll be coming in from all over the world that
mm-hmm.
have been, you know, waiting for us
sure,
to open
right.
for this big period. So some folks have come to Lucky Dragon many times already and are great customers. Others that are maybe coming from further away or don't make trips to Vegas multiple times a year,
mm-hmm.
They've been waiting for Chinese New Year to be their period to come visit. So we're looking forward to a pretty busy time.
Okay, good. Well, I have a Chinese friend in Los Angeles who always goes to Caesar's Palace every year. And tell me about this new place, you know. So I took some pictures and sent it to him. And he said, oh, we're definitely going to go visit there this year. So maybe you'll get them as customers next year.
It's interesting. So. We're hearing words getting out.
Yeah.
Word of mouth travels pretty quickly in really any community. And,
sure.
And we're finding that the word of mouth has been very positive for us, from our F&B to our gaming side. And a lot of folks are coming and staying with us as a result of that. A lot of people are staying elsewhere in town and coming and playing with us or dining with us
right.
or both.
Okay. So you opened with free parking at a time when there's many properties on the Strip are migrating to paid parking. What are your plans going forward involving parking?
At this point in time, no plans to charge for parking.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're happy to make it easy for folks to come in and out of our property. We expect to do a proportionately larger amount of local business and regional business than perhaps some of our strip counterparts that are charging for parking. So we don't want to discourage those folks from coming in and playing with us.
Sure. And you're in a location here that they've pretty much got to come to this place, and they're not going to park here and walk somewhere else, just even though you're
true. You know, true. Yeah, we don't see people are using us as a parking lot to go other places. I'd also add we are maybe really the only strip casino that has free street parking pretty accessible to the property. So if you go just behind, just north of us, there's 6 or 8 streets there in a grid that all have free street parking. So if we charge for parking, it's not really a big deterrent. Someone can just park right outside and walk right in.
Right, exactly. So last question, what are some of your plans to spread the word about Lucky Dragon going forward? I mean, you know, there's a lot of Chinese communities all over the United States, as you mentioned. How are you trying to penetrate those communities?
So more than anything, it starts here with great service, great food, great staff, and a great gaming environment for our guests. And then word of mouth spreads from there, and we're finding that is absolutely happening right now. We have events that we host in some of our core markets in L.A. and San Francisco, Vancouver, and other places where we'll work with local partners there, or in some cases just our own team to try to generate additional interest in Lucky Dragon. Advertising campaigns that you'd see that many other properties do, similar things, billboards, print ads, radio ads, various different, we're working into this as our database gets larger and as we start putting together more tailored offerings, but we'll be able to offer specific things to specific people from different areas. We're working on that now. You know, it's a multifaceted approach, probably not that dissimilar to what many other properties do to try to generate business from all over the country and world.
Sure. But, you know, I think the exciting thing about this property is it's built for this niche market, and, you know, there are a lot of other niche markets out there that could be take the same approach, and I think people are going to be watching what happens here at the Lucky Dragon for quite some time. So thanks for the time, Dave. It's great to meet you, and we're really looking forward to seeing the success of this property.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
You enjoyed this edition of the GGB podcast sponsored by iGamingPlayer.com, the leading affiliate marketing partner for online and land-based casinos. If you want to hear more about the topics discussed today, visit GGBMagazine.com for all the news and trends in the casino industry. For weekly updates, subscribe to GGB News, which delivers all the news of the gaming industry to your desktop, waiting for you every Monday morning. Please join us next week for another edition of the GGB podcast. And don't forget to follow GGB on Twitter at Global Gaming Biz, on Facebook and LinkedIn at Global Gaming Business Magazine. Have a great week.